I went loose. I had freedom and I just went wild. I began to party, I began to drink, I began to get addictions to women, alcohol. The very first drug I ever used was cocaine. I kind of started right at the finish line, it seemed like, really. It's like the devil was putting all these people right in front of me. I began to get an addiction to pills as well, pain pills. I began to start selling cocaine, pain pills, all this stuff, and I'm going down this dark path. This led into a heroin addiction, and I was selling this, and got so bad to the point where I would OD. I've OD multiple times. And as I'm reaching down another time to try to get the fish, I see sandals, and I'm like in slow motion. I'm looking up, and there's a white robe, and I'm looking up, and then I'm face to face with Jesus, and he reaches down, and he grabs one of these fish, and he's holding it. He says, "Cody, before you can lead, you must follow me," and he handed me the fish, and I start seeing spirits, I start seeing demons, and then I'm scared to death. And I'm just seeing all these spiders crawling around the walls and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening right now? I was physically gone and I found myself in hell. They had no faces. They were skinny, emaciated, gray. And I knew it was people's souls, even though they didn't have faces, but there was millions upon millions as far as the eye could see down this like magma river. There were so many. They were literally swimming over the top of each other. And I just reached up and I looked up. I said, "Lord, I need your help."
Hi, welcome to Touching the Afterlife. Today we have with us Cody. And Cody has a powerful testimony how he was a soldier for the devil, but then the Lord got him and he became a soldier for Christ. So find out what happened with this prodigal. Cody, welcome to the show today.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy how to you
be
doing?
Here. Good. I'm very happy to be here. And I hope that we can reach some lost who have been in the position I've been in.
Well, let's hear it. Share with us what happened with you.
Yeah. So I grew up in the church. My dad was, he was very, very strict and, kind of rough on us, on me and my brothers. I'm the oldest of eight kids, kind of his, hers, ours thing. But we all lived in one house. He was very, very strict on us. He didn't really show Christ through himself, but he always drove us to go into the church and to go do things. So growing up, by the time I was 17, 18, I had done 3 mission trips to Mexico. Everything we did revolved around the church. We had good grades, all that stuff. But because of his strictness, as soon as I turned 18, and with there being so many kids in the house, he's like, "All right, you got to go find somewhere to live, be on your own." On my birthday, he actually said that. So that's exactly what I did. About a month after my 18th birthday, I went and moved to, I'm from Iowa. I moved to the city. I was from a small town, but I moved to Des Moines, the city. And it was a very, very rough time in my life because I went loose. I had freedom and I just went wild. So I began to party, stuff I never really ever got to do at my dad's house when I lived there because he was so strict. And so I began to party, I began to drink, I began to get addictions to women, alcohol, and I started using, the very first drug I ever used was cocaine. I kind of started right at the finish line, it seemed like, really. So I started doing that. And then I started meeting people that it's like the devil was putting all these people right in front of me. And because he knew what's on your life, what's on my life, he knows. So he's going to put people in front of you to stop what God's trying to do with you. And that's exactly what he did to me. And so I met people that owned all the bars and all the clubs and became friends with them. Even before I was 21, I didn't even need a fake ID. I got into every club, every bar, doing drugs and sleeping with multiple women. So that got a hold of me. And it got a hold of me like strong. It had a grip on my life. So I was fast forward a few years, and I began to get an addiction to pills as well, pain pills, and pretty much anything I could get my hands on. And so I began to start selling cocaine, pain pills, all this stuff. And I'm going down this dark path. And as I was doing all this stuff, I would start meeting more people that the devil put in front of me, which led into things like crime, like stealing and hurting people so I could have money to continue the habit, because this led into a heroin addiction and I was selling this. And it was a very, very rough, dark time and did a lot of things I'm not proud of, and hurt people emotionally, physically, all that stuff. And it was something that I'm here now, and it's a testimony. So I'm grateful that I made it through all those things. But it got so bad to the point where I would OD. I've OD'd multiple times, and I remember one specific time that I OD'd. I woke up in the hospital, and I was in a car, and they dropped me off at the hospital. They took everything from my pockets. They took my drugs. They took my money. They took my cell phone and just dropped me off at the hospital. Thank God they even did that. But I woke up with nurses over me. They must have gave me that Narcan stuff. And I was freaking out like, hey, what are you guys doing? I thought they were trying to rob me, but I didn't realize, you know, from coming back to life that they were saving my life, that they were nurses. And they're like, it's okay. It's okay. And I don't remember anything from being out at that point in time either. But so instead of getting myself back to health there and taking advantage of their services or anything, I just got right up and I checked myself out of the hospital immediately. And I mean, like, I was just like dead pretty much. So they were trying to get me to stop, and I just didn't. I didn't listen. I wanted to go back out, get more stuff, get my phone, and get back in, right back into it. You think that would be a wake-up call, and those type of things would maybe turn somebody's life around. But when you're in it and you're so deep and you're so addicted, your body gets so addicted to that stuff that it's so painful to not have it. And to be without it is like, I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy to have those withdrawals and those things. And that was something I battled with for a very long time, in that addiction with heroin and fentanyl and all that stuff. And so I tried quitting multiple times, actually. And it's something a lot of people that do this stuff, they don't want to do it. They just feel like they absolutely have no other choice. So I came to terms with, I'm going to do this forever. And I talked myself into being okay with it, and that I would just moderate how much I did so this didn't happen again, and da, 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 da. And it's just a bunch of lies I told myself because I thought I could never quit. I tried Suboxone, the medication-assisted treatment, Suboxone, methadone. I had been in and out of jail and prison and all that stuff. I'll touch on that in a minute. And so one day I finally just thought back to, you know, raise a child in the way they should go. And then when they're older, they will not depart from it. So thank God my dad did that stuff, because I just one day was so sick of the life and lost everything. And I was living in places that were not good to live in. And I just reached up and I looked up. I said, Lord, I need your help. Nothing else has worked. I need your help. Within a month, I was completely clean. So hallelujah, praise God to that, because that was a lot of years and a lot of darkness. And there's so many
years. How many years, Cody, did you struggle with this before you reached that point?
Yes. So from when I was 18 until late 20s.
Wow.
So like 10, 12, 13 years, somewhere around there, a long time. It was off and on for some of it until I got into the heroin and that stuff. Like I mentioned, I went into jail and prison and all that stuff. And this is near the end of it. For some reason, when I got in prison, I was there for a nonviolent crime. It was a 2-year sentence, which I did a year of. In Iowa, you're allowed to do a certain amount and get out on parole, probation, or whatever. And so that's what I did. But while I was there, all I did was read the Bible, work out, and pray. And I always carried a Bible around with me. I had no problems with anybody in the jail. They all are in the prison. They all saw me carrying this Bible, and everybody left me alone. But the crazy thing is, there was such a move of God in that prison. There was men so hungry for the word and for the Lord that I seen some crazy Holy Spirit things there that you sometimes don't even see outside of the prison walls. So it was pretty good. It was a good time for, if I had to be there, that was the right place. You know what I mean? It was good. And that's the first time I stood up in front of about 100 people and gave my testimony, and the first time I preached in front of some people. But me being very hard headed, I got out and I started doing the same stuff eventually. I tried to stay away from the heroin when I just went to pills and to all the other stuff. Weed, mostly a lot of weed and drinking and all that stuff. And then eventually there's so much I have to skip some stuff or else we'd be here all day. But eventually I got to a place where I was only drinking and only going to the bars and sleeping with women, which that still is bad. But for where I came from, that's like a miracle in itself. And so I was going to church as well. And my pastor, of course, he didn't know that I was doing all the other things, that I was drinking and smoking weed and sleeping around. And he asked me one day, Cody, would you like to be like my assistant and help me? And I told him, man, I'm going to have to pray about this and think about it, because I knew in my heart what I was still doing outside of the church was not, it was not for God. It was not a good representation. And throughout my whole, up until I actually really get saved, I never really knew Jesus. I knew he was real and I believed in him, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And I didn't really know him for the longest time. But because of my dad, I kept going to church and I kept, I stayed on the fence, but the fence is owned by the devil, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I told my pastor, I was like, I got to pray about this and think about it. I had 1 week left to do in jail, in county jail, from all the other stuff that I'd done. I ended up having to go back to prison and finish my sentence and all that stuff. So I had to finish my probation. So in order to finish it, they agreed that I would just go spend 1 more week in county jail. And luckily I was clean. I didn't have to go through withdrawals or any of that stuff. So I decided I'm going to spend that time with the Lord and I'm going to pray and seek him. So I did. And I prayed about what my pastor had asked me. And I was like, Lord, I'm doing all these things. He asked me to do this to assist him. And I was just like, I don't know what I should do or if I can get myself to do it. And I prayed that prayer. And this was the first night in the jail. That night I went to sleep. And he answered me that night. He gave me a dream, and I was in this huge warehouse, and there was a little stream going zigzagging throughout the warehouse. And the warehouse was so big, I couldn't see from wall to wall. They're so huge, but there was people with sackcloth, like little families and stuff, like all around little spots around the stream. And there was fish in this stream, like trout, brown trout, rainbow trout, and stuff like that. So I'm a sportsman in real life. I like to fish and hunt and all those things. And I'm athletic and quick. And I thought I would reach down and snag one of these fish. And I kept trying and kept trying. I could not get the fish. And I was getting upset. And as I'm reaching down another time to try to get the fish, I see sandals. And I'm like in slow motion. I'm looking up and there's a white robe and I'm looking up. And then I'm face to face with Jesus. And he reaches down so gently. And he grabs one of these fish and he's holding it. He says, Cody, before you can lead, you must follow me. And he handed me the fish. And I woke up. You think that that would be a place where it would be a turning point of somebody's life. And they're like, oh my gosh, I just seen Jesus. He told me to follow him and all this, all that stuff. And so it really hit me hard. And I just am so hard-headed. This whole testimony, I've had the Lord chase me, and I just am so hard-headed, and thank God that he kept pursuing, because I shouldn't even be alive. I shouldn't be here. So yeah, with that said, so I didn't surrender. I finished out the, oh no, I forgot something actually. So a couple of days go by and I was praying again, and the Lord, and this is still in the jail, and I went to the Lord and asked him a question, and I'm not going to repeat it for my own sake. And it's just an intimate moment. I finally started to have a little intimacy with the Lord. And I asked him a question, and I was kind of like making a deal with him a little bit, like, Lord, if you allow this, then I will do this. And so he said, there's going to be warfare. If you're going to do this, it's going to be crazy. And I said, Lord, what kind of warfare? And so he began instantly to show me. I was laying in my little cot thing, my bed, and for hours I was having visions. This is like the first like visions and seeing in the spirit that I ever encountered. And I'm seeing visions of all these demons and principalities and all this spiritual warfare and all this stuff for hours. And just it kept going on until I gave him my answer. And it was no joke, 6, 7, 8 hours. I mean, it was hours. And I'm laying in this bed, just seeing all this stuff like a movie, and like it was real life. And I didn't know exactly what was happening, but at the same time, I did. That's hard to explain. So I was seeing all this evil and all these demons and all this stuff. It hit me finally. I was like, wait a second. If Jesus is with me, then none of this stuff matters. He wins in the end. I know the end, and I know he wins. I said, Lord, okay, I accept. I will do this. I will do this thing. And the vision stopped that moment. Little did I know, he didn't give me a lot of instruction after that. I get out, I finish that, I'm off probation, I'm good. Little did I know that that would spark my gift to see in the spirit realm. And this is where things take a turn in my life for crazy. And I start seeing spirits, I start seeing demons, and the devil, I hate him. He used this gift of God gave me to attack. And he just threw devil after demon, after principality, after witch, after warlock, all this stuff at me. And I can see it now. And I didn't know that this was a gift from God yet. And I'm seeing all this intense spiritual warfare around me. I would see angels. I would see them fighting demons. But I'd seen way more demons. And that's because the devil was using this. And God allowed it. I guess it was a test. It was to strengthen me. And it brought me to where I am now and who I am now. So I'm thankful for it. But at the time, it was very hard. And so I get out, I get a job, and I'm starting to get in really good physical shape, and I'm starting to calm down all the partying and all that stuff. Really, all I was doing is just like smoking weed and working. But I loved the Lord. And I thought at the time, oh, it's okay to smoke weed. God made it. Isn't that the big lie about weed smoking? But God also created poison ivy. If I smoked that, that probably wouldn't end up so good for me. But it enters you into the spirit realm illegally. And that's something the Holy Spirit needs to take you into. So I move away from my hometown. I was staying with my mom at the time and all that, because I'm just fresh out of jail and prison and all this. And I meet a girl. I kind of went to school with her, but I didn't really know her. And she lived about 30 minutes away. I meet her. We start dating. And I move in with her. And things start getting really crazy there. It starts getting bad. She was not of the Lord. She didn't know Jesus at all. She, in fact, was hiding an addiction from me the whole time. It took me forever to figure out she was using fentanyl patches. And I was so upset when I found out, because I was clean from that stuff. And she knew, you know, that was something I struggled with. But thank God I didn't get back into it there. But this is where the Lord started really opening my eyes in the spirit realm. The devil attacked even more. And I start seeing crazy battles in my living room of angels and demons. And they would be like fighting. And of course, the angels always won. But the demons just seemed like there was a portal in this apartment. Like, and I felt like it was behind my fridge. And I started to think, like, I'm going crazy. Like, I didn't know still it was a gift. I'm like, I am going absolutely nuts. And I thought it was driving me mad, like, for real. So I started thinking, I need to go get an MRI or CAT scan or whatever it is and get checked out. I need to go see somebody. And so one of those nights, I was laying in bed next to her. She was asleep on the bed, and she was asleep here, and then there's a window right above the bed. And I have the lamp on next to us, and I'm curled up and like with my knees in my hands, and I'm curled up and I am seeing these spiders. And there's spiders from this big to like huge spiders, and they're everywhere in this room. And I'm scared to death. And I'm just seeing all these spiders crawling around the walls and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening right now? I have to go to the hospital tomorrow. In the morning, I'm going to go make an appointment. I got to get checked out. I'm losing my mind. And the Lord heard my cry. And I seen this spirit come in through like the window area above her. And I don't know, the Lord knew that this would be confirmation for me, I guess. And I saw this thing come in, and it was going like this. And then it went right into her leg. And no kidding, the moment that happened, she like jumps in her sleep. And I'm like, oh man, this is real. This is actually real. I knew then it was real. And I finally got some peace over it that night, and I finally was able to go to sleep, because I started realizing, oh my gosh, this is actually real. And the Lord just gave me a supernatural peace over it instead of fear. He allowed me to get rest, and he started revealing to me that this is a gift. You have to learn how to use it, how to deal with it, and what it's for. And he revealed that stuff to me. so little bit of time goes by. And I'm still in this house, in this apartment. Once I realized that it was actually a gift and from the Lord, I didn't go to the hospital. I didn't go get checked out. I didn't need to. I knew in my heart that this was a gift. So some time goes by and I am sitting on the couch alone. She was at work and I'm sitting on the couch and I decided to pray. And I'm like, Lord, I have trouble loving people. My heart was so hardened from all the drugs and the crime and everything that I'd done. I have trouble loving people. I was hardened. I was like, Lord, help me to love people like Jesus does, everybody. And that moment, he answered my prayer. He seems to keep doing this instantly for me for some reason at this time in my life. And he answered that prayer. And it was like I left my body completely. Like this wasn't a vision like before, like a movie or a screen or anything like that. This was like I was physically gone and I found myself in hell. And I'm standing on this rock cliff type thing. I guess you could say it's just all rock and the lighting is very bad. Obviously it's supposed to be dark in hell, but he's allowing me to see. It's like Jesus took me and he's allowing me to see what's going on. And I see this very wide, very long river. It wasn't quite fire, but it was like a magma, a lava or something. And there's souls in it. They had no faces. They were skinny, emaciated, gray. And I knew it was people's souls, even though they didn't have faces. But there was millions upon millions, as far as the eye could see down this like magma river. And they were so close together. There were so many. They were literally swimming over the top of each other, shoulder to shoulder. And the screams that I could hear were so high-pitched and so many. The only thing I've ever been able to find that sounds anywhere near it on this earth is if you look up the hole to hell, whether that's real or not, I don't know. I believe it is because the sounds that were on that recording where they stuck the microphone down in a hole where the Russians dug, and it went way down, like 8 miles or so. And they thought they found hell because they started hearing stuff. And they put a super heat repelling microphone or whatever you want to call it. And they recorded 8 seconds, I believe it was, of screams. And it's just, you hear that screaming and it's exactly what I heard, but I heard it in high definition. And then their microphone melted, I believe. That's the story. Look that up at some point. And that's close to what I heard. Only I heard high definition, much louder, much more. And I'm seeing all these things and I'm asking myself, Lord, why don't these people have faces? And he didn't answer me right then. And I'm seeing these people looking for a way out. They're crying, they're crawling, they're screaming. And it was just, I don't know how long I was there, but I'm seeing that. I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel heat, nothing like that. It was just like I was just watching. I was observing. And finally, I come back to my body and I just cry. I weep, I cry because he answered my prayer exactly. And he allowed me to feel, this was the only thing I could feel. He allowed me to feel the love that he had for each person that didn't accept him and went to hell. And that's all I could feel. And it tore me up and it still makes me a little emotional now. I could still hear the screams now. I still see it like it was yesterday, like it just happened. And I just sat on the couch for 3-4 hours and I cried and I cried because I felt that love for those people. And it's like all those souls, it was so painful in your heart. And I know how it grieves him now when somebody is lost and perishes, just one. And there was millions. It was terrible.
I just want to add,
yeah.
Can I add something here? I don't know if you've seen Lester Sumrall, A Man of Faith series, but it reminds me of him. That's exactly what happened to him. He didn't ask for the love of people, but God showed him people going to hell and his life completely turned around to preach the gospel so that people would know him so they wouldn't have to go there. And that's what he did for you. He broke your heart, right? And he answered that prayer. I think it's interesting he answered it through showing you hell.
Yeah. And to be honest, after so much, this was years ago, like, I don't know, 6-5 years ago, probably. I don't want to go back again to experience again, but all that time that between then and now, it has dulled that love still. And it's something like you really have to work on And I do love people way more than I did, way more than I ever did. I'm not as hard. My heart has been softened. But I noticed, and I've asked the Lord about this, and I'm sure he'll answer me at some point. But like, why is this love still seem to be fading? And I think it's due to the fact if you just look around at all the evil in this world and all the people that are so evil and the devil. I know the devil uses them, and we war not against flesh and blood, but boy, is it hard. And you see all these evil things, and it just dulls it. It dulls it. It's hard in these, I believe that in times, I think it's hard. So I'm still in this apartment, still with this girl. And I don't really have wisdom in the spirit realm yet. I'm gaining it. I'm starting to, I still see everything's starting to kick off for me in my walk with the Lord. And the crazy thing is I haven't fully surrendered to him yet still. I'm still smoking and every once in a while I would drink, but I still haven't fully surrendered to him yet. And he's showing me all these things. And because of my ignorance in the spirit realm, I met this girl one time at a party in Des Moines, and she, for some reason, a few years later, gets a hold of me, and I know she was a witch. Okay, she's a witch, straight up witch, and I'm telling her I'm seeing all these spirits and all this stuff, and to my ignorance, she told me to burn sage, open the windows, and they'll leave. And I didn't know sage was not, that was still witchcraft. I didn't know. And so I did it, and I opened the window. I had a cat. And this cat sat up on like the back of the couch and right next to the window would have been behind me. And I burned it. I opened the window and the cat's going, watching all these things leave. So I'm like, I thought this was legit, but it made it worse. Let's just say it took about 2-3 days and it was like 100-fold. It's going crazy. So eventually I leave the girl and I go to stay with a friend another 35 minutes away from there. And everything just seemed to be about like I put my relationship with the Lord, seeking him intimately, on pause. How could I have done that after I've seen him face to face? He speaks to me. He's shown these things in the spirit realm. I got taken in the spirit realm to hell. How could I be so hard-headed and stubborn? But I was. And looking back on it, it's like, wow, dummy. But so I just kind of put the things on pause for a little bit. I'd still talk to him here and there, but I start living with these two buddies of mine. We're just smoking and having fun. And that's what it was for a month or two. And I meet another girl. And eventually I move in with her. And this is right before CV, before the bug came. And I start getting back into selling marijuana. And I went harder selling it than I ever had in my life before. And I was making money fast. Nobody knew me. No cops knew me. I just went through my friends' friends and was selling to all of them. And, you know, I got the best stuff in town and blah, blah, blah. So I took that town over. And it was weird because I would see cops drive by my house and look while I was like mowing and stuff. And it's like I was invisible. They never looked at me. They never questioned nothing, and nothing ever happened, but I was moving weight. And so I don't know, I thought I was invincible, I guess, I don't know, but I think it was the Lord just protecting me because he had plans for me. So I'm doing that, and the lockdowns happen, I'll just say that. And I'm still smoking and all that, of course, and the lockdowns happen, and I start seeing on the news they're shutting down churches, and that gave me like a righteous anger, like indignation in my spirit. And I'm like, no, this ain't happening. We're going to have church. So I turned my home into a house church at that time, even though all I was doing was smoking and selling weed. And of course, everybody that came to my house church, I stayed within the limits of the 10 people that they put those limits on gatherings. So I did that actually. And I had the max 10 people, and we would all have church and smoke. And to my ignorance of the spirit realm, we're doing something that is not of the Lord, that's opening us to spirits of addiction, to spirits that opens you up. It's an open door in your life. So if you smoke, from experience, I can tell you You need to quit. It's not a good thing. It's not okay. It doesn't lead to life. So I opened this church and I began to start getting back into my relationship with the Lord, even though I'm doing those things. And he starts waking me up. I found this man that preaches online. He's like the first person to ever really start preaching online as like an internet preacher type thing. His name is Marcus Rogers. Whether you like him or hate him or not, God used him for me. And I seen what he was doing and preaching online. And I'm like, man, I want to do this. I want to do what he's doing. I want to seek the Lord like this. I want to preach the gospel. I think I want to do this. And the funny thing is, growing up my whole life, I always would say, I will never become a preacher. I'm never going to become a preacher. And now I've preached in churches and online and all this stuff. It's funny what the Lord does. But I see Marcus and it gives me a hunger for him. So I do begin to slow down on the things that I'm doing, illegal things. And I begin focusing on making videos, and I would write them down on notepads, and I would pray and like, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? I'd use what wisdom I had and the things that he would give me. And I think the very first thing, because of the lockdowns, the very first thing I ever preached on was hidden agendas and the devil's hidden agenda. And if you can make the connection of why I came up with that, I won't say it. I don't want to get the channel strikes. So I came up with that, and I remember I'm sitting here holding this and I'm preaching on this, and I'm like shaking like a leaf. I was so nervous and I was just shaking, trying to get this out. You couldn't see it. The shakes is so bad on the video, but I wouldn't get a lot of views. And I kept this going on for a little while until one day, after the lockdowns let up, I decide it's my birthday. Actually, it was my birthday, and I decide I'm going to go visit my daughter in Knoxville, Iowa. That's where I grew up. That's where she lived. And I decided I'm going to go visit her and visit my mother because it's my birthday. So I went to Knoxville, and lo and behold, as I'm there, this girl, she robbed me. She took all my stuff, kept what she wanted, took all my stuff and brought it an hour away to Knoxville and dropped it off, had a cop with her so I wouldn't freak out or anything, and dropped all this stuff off on my birthday to my mom's house, and the house I was paying the bills for and everything in it, I pretty much paid for. Well, I had a safe, and she did bring it, but I couldn't open it in front of the cops that were there. And that might've been why she actually brought the cops, now that I think about it. But I couldn't open it because there was obviously marijuana in there. I had cash, a lot of cash, and like collectible dollars and $20 bills and coins and things like that I thought were cool that I acquired from people selling. And so once the cop finally leaves, I open it, and there was nothing in there, absolutely nothing but a stench. And luckily I had grabbed like $3,500 because it was my birthday in cash, and I had that in my pocket, so I wasn't completely out. But she got about 60 grand from me all in one whack. And I'm all of a sudden homeless. Almost all my money's gone. All my product is gone. And this is like a little wake up call for me. So I decided, since everything's just opened up, Florida was just opening up. That was the place that opened up first. So I went to a hotel. I didn't want to bother my mom. I think I stayed there a night or two. And then I went to a hotel. It's like, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to leave. And my options, there wasn't a lot. So I just went to the airport. I stayed at a hotel. Then I went to the airport, got a hotel again, and I decided I'm going to just pick a place and go. And so I did. I picked Clearwater Beach, Florida. And I'd never been to Florida before. I was like, why not? Let's go. And I get there, and it was really crazy how the Lord just has been with me this whole time. I'm there, and I'm just doing the same things I'm always doing. I had a few drinks, and I'm smoking. And so I met this dude, and I start beginning to hang out with him because I went alone. He was alone from somewhere else, Georgia, I believe. And we were there hanging out. And I thought I had this little speaker that I would carry around on the beach with me and listen to music. And I thought he stole it because I brought him up to my room, showed him, you know, all this stuff. And I thought he stole it. By the time I wasn't with him anymore, I'm like, man, that dude, he stole my speaker. I looked everywhere for it, through my bag, multiple times, all throughout the hotel room, and I couldn't find it. So I decided I'm just going to go buy another one. I still had cash. And I went to the main strip where the tourists go. And of course, the place that would have them was out completely. So I had to go off the beaten path around this corner and to this Walgreens just to get another speaker. And I see these men outside and they're holding signs about Jesus. And I decided, I'm going to go pray with these guys. You know, like, why wouldn't I? It's crazy that I'm seeing this here out of off the beaten path. There's a reason. So I went and prayed with them. Well, this guy, one of them was a veteran and he had the gift of prophecy. And I didn't know much about prophecy at the time, but I figured it out. He began to tell me things about my life that no one else could know, especially in a place I've never been. And he began to prophesy things into my life. And one of the main things he told me was what the Lord had for my life and what I would be doing for him, stuff like that, which is it's beginning to come to pass now. And he also told me the Lord has a wife for you, but the devil has somebody very dark and bad for you. So you need to have discernment. You need to stay away from that one because the devil's going to send you somebody first. Well, some time goes on. I leave Florida. I left that guy, of course, and we prayed and all that stuff, but that's the main things he told me. I left Florida. I end up going to this place in in Illinois. I can't remember what the name of it was. And I stayed on this farm with a friend. All I did was pray. I had nobody. This was out in the middle of nowhere. All I did was pray. And all I did was read my Bible. I slowed way down smoking. I'm not selling anything. I was just me and this dude, and he's a farmer, and I had nothing and nobody. And this is where I start figuring out the walk with the Lord, speaking in tongues, all that stuff. I had no clue about any of those things. And I begin to have visions. I begin to see things that I'd never seen before. The Lord is actually, I've heard his voice audibly in this time. And I believe it's because I had nothing to distract me. Absolutely nothing. I focused on him and my walk with him fully. And I start to hear his voice. And I've heard him audibly a few times. I start to see angels and I'm starting to have visions. I was having visions of the end times and the four horsemen and like these amazing, beautiful visions and things that I've never experienced before because of that time and dedication and that drive and hunger for the Lord. And this is where I begin to have intimacy with him. And I'm talking to this guy back in Iowa who's older than me and end up being like a father, spiritual father type figure, a mentor to me. And I'm talking to him over the phone, da da da. And he's like, I'm at this men's house that I'm running. I want you to come and help me. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this might be a good deal. And so I began doing the videos. Before I left there, I was still doing more videos. I would go live and have thousands of people watching me. Because of the hunger I had for the Lord, I know that's what it was. And I went from like nobody watching my stuff to going live and having thousands of people tune in while I'm live. And they'd get tens of thousands of views by the end of it. And this is where people started getting shadow beliefs and things. And so after a while that began to happen and it just like started to fizzle out. And I don't know why. I think the Lord was also putting me away. He was hiding me for a certain time. So I decided to go out into this cornfield while I'm out there one day. And I didn't really know. The guy that I was talking to, the mentor guy on the phone, he was telling me about speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And I didn't know really what it was. So I was like, okay, in faith, I went out into this cornfield and I would just get on my knees, pray. And I would try to speak in tongues. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire yet, but I would try to do this. And I'm just doing it in faith. And that went on for a couple of weeks. And then finally, one of my best friends in the world, his name is Johnny. He's passed now. Lord rest his soul. But he was a warlock and he was starting to get very interested into the Lord. And he knew what he was doing. He was a Freemason and a warlock. And he knew what he was doing was not right. He had the biggest heart of any man I've ever met. So soft of a heart. But he was on the wrong path. And he began to call me and ask me questions. I didn't really know him at the time, but he became my best friend. And I brought him to the Lord. And he gave all that stuff up. And I just said, hey, man, come get me. Let's go do this thing with the mentor guy, Kurt. His name is Kurt. And I said, let's go do this thing with Kurt. And he's like, all right. So he drove and came and picked me up. And we went all the way back to Iowa. And it was a great ride. It was fun. We got to know each other very well. We prayed a lot. It was great. The Lord is with us. And we worshiped, all that stuff. We go to this men's house. And now I am fully in for the Lord. And I have people around me, which is so important. There's other men around me that love the Lord. And they also had passed. This men's house was for people with like a passive addiction. I came out of prison and jail and all this stuff. And so I'm helping with that. Johnny's helping with that. And Kurt was one of the ones that helped run it. And so I got some boys with me. And I began to go out and evangelize. And I didn't know anything about casting out demons ever. But I seen a guy with horns on his head. In the physical realm, he had these horns tattooed on his head. And he was drunk downtown Des Moines. And I heard the Lord say, cast this demon out of this man. And I didn't know nothing about it. I knew Jesus did it. I was like, man, there's something in you. I can see it. Do you want me to get it out of you? He began to cry. He's like, please get it out of me. Get it out of me. So I put my hand on him. I commanded this thing out. And it was boom. He was like, you know, did some weird stuff with his body. And there it was gone. And I took some pictures with him before that. And I took some pictures with him after that. And no kidding, his eyes completely changed. He sobered up. And in the picture I took after that, the horns were gone. They were still on his head physically. The tattoo was still there in the physical. But in the picture, after he just received the Lord and deliverance, the horns were gone. They were not in the picture. You couldn't see them. It was absolutely crazy. I hope I still have that picture somewhere. That was my first encounter with deliverance, casting out demons, which is a very real thing. The man came to the Lord. I hope and pray. He went to actual Bible school before he ever got the horns and all that stuff. I remember asking him, and he lost his way. Another prodigal. I hope he's still prodigal. This was still a few years ago. So I got to experience that. I started seeing angels following me and Johnny everywhere we went. We would see angels, and he couldn't quite see them as much as me. But we would see these angels, and we'd go help the homeless, and we would see this stuff. And it just was great. I was like, man, I finally have found what I've been looking for in my life the whole time. I felt fulfilled, except for one thing I wanted. I still wanted that wife. I still wanted the wife. And I would always keep in the back of my mind the thing that got prophesied over me. And I should have listened a little closer. So some time starts to go on, and looking for the wife. And I ended up getting out of the men's house and all this stuff. I got an apartment with my mentor, Kurt, and we're just seeking the Lord. We're doing our thing. But I met this woman who was the witch, the one that had actually texted me before and told me about the sage and all that. It was her. And I started talking to her, and she's acting like she wants to come to the Lord. So of course, I'm like, I'm going to bring her to the Lord. Of course, I'm going to do this. And so one day I finally go to her house to pray for her. And stupid, don't ever go to an opposite sex house by yourself. Don't ever do that. That is not a good idea. Always bring somebody with you. But I did this, and I thought I was strong enough and all this stuff. But that time it was fine. She gave her life to the Lord, and the way she did it was weird. And it bothered me. And man, I'm just now remembering too, the Lord gave me a vision while I was at her house, and I ignored it. I'll get into that in a second. But she wanted to be alone. She like wanted me in the other room to give her life to the Lord because she felt nervous, she said. So I just like, okay, I went in the other room, and she like got down on her hands and knees. And I thought she did it. I thought she did, because she started throwing all of her stuff away, all of this witchcraft stuff, or I thought. And as she's outside throwing it in the trash, I'm sitting on the bed facing the wall, and I'm just waiting for her. And I had this vision, and I see this fierce lion that looked like Scar from The Lion King, not like a Mufasa type. This was a lion seeking to devour. This was not a good lion. And I seen it. And this is so crazy. I won't ever forget this. I'm glad the Lord brought it to me now. But this lion was prowling on me. And it went and it pounced. And as soon as it pounced from like the direction where the door was, she opens the door and comes in. Like the lion like turned into her face. And it pounced at me. And that's pretty obvious what the Lord's trying to tell you right there. But I didn't listen. I'm hard-headed. I always have been. So I didn't listen. And we start dating eventually. I thought she gave her life to the Lord. She so faked it. I just meet her mom and her sisters, and they're witches. And I'm like, and her mom couldn't even look me in the eyes. I had the Holy Spirit in me, which I would need to tell you how that happened. I'll get to that next. But her mom couldn't look at me. They were evil, pure evil witches. And they've done things that she eventually told me that are so dark, so evil. But I thought she gave her life to the Lord. So I started dating her. Anyway, backtrack a little bit. I was at with Johnny and Kurt, and we were at this conference little thing, or this Holy Spirit meeting. And I had been dealing with problems in my stomach. I didn't know if it was like a cancer or what, but no, doctors couldn't really figure it out. I was always in pain. I always had stomach issues. and around this time, and we went to this thing, and I just laid on the floor. It was just some people prophesying and worship and stuff. I laid on the floor in the back the entire time, trying to pray in tongues. I had no idea. But after like an hour and a half or so, I had this sensation of extreme heat, and it was like the glory of God and extreme heat and all this stuff from my back, and which was crazy because I got up finally, and one of my other friends that was there from this men's house could see in the spirit as well, and everybody was all about the Lord. It was awesome, and when you're just all about the Lord, you can see and experience more supernatural things than ever before, but you got to commit. And we were. And so I got up, and this dude, he's like, bro, you had an angel standing over you with a sword of fire, and he pile-drived it through your back while you were laying on the floor. And I said, dude, I know the exact moment you were talking about. And that, I believe, and I'm positive, is when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, and amen. Yeah, life started changing for sure. And I was healed. I was completely healed of the stomach thing. I never had to go to the doctor again. I never had a problem since. I was healed instantly. Glory to God.
What a story. Okay, so this happened, and then what happened with this counterfeit?
Okay, so yeah, this is obviously, if you haven't figured it out, this is the woman that the man prophesied to me about. I thank God he warned me, and it stayed in the back of my mind the whole time, but I didn't want to believe it because I'm hard-headed. I remember having this vibration and this noise in my body when I was at my apartment, and it rang like a bell, ding, right through my body and in my head. And I've never felt this experience before in my life. It was crazy. And it got stronger, stronger. It was before I went to her house that day, and it got stronger and stronger. And when I got to her house, it was like my whole entire body was like vibrating, and it was like kind of freaky, but it felt good at the same time, if you know what I mean. And it was like, she had done something, some type of voodoo and a spell on me. I know looking back now, that's what it was. At the time, I was just like, oh my gosh, what if this is like the Lord telling me that this is whatever. I knew in the back of my mind the entire time that this is the one the guy was talking about. I knew, and I didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to the vision. I didn't listen to anything. And at the same time, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit now and all this stuff. And the attacks came. I started seeing more demons in the spirit realm and crazy things than I ever seen any time past. And there's black cats in the spirit walking around my house, which I believe now is, and she actually believed as well, that it was her mother astral projecting to spy on us. It probably was, but it was crazy. And me and Johnny would go hang out with her and her friend, and we went out to this place in the woods and a few towns over, and it's like a park, but there's a lot of woods around and stuff. And apparently this is where they did all their witchcraft. And we went there a few times, but one night we went there, and there was this one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. There was this person out there who had shapeshifted into this like bat-like creature, and it still had like human legs dangling underneath of it. And it was about this big, and it started flying above our heads. We saw a shapeshifter, a real life person that was doing sorcery and shapeshifted. And I've heard since then, this is a normal thing in like African and Hispanic countries areas. But I didn't know anything about it. And I looked at Johnny, I'm like, dude, what was that? And he's like, man, we got to get out of here right now. So we did, and we left. So I started figuring out, the longer time went on, that this woman was not okay. She took me out to that place, the same place in the daytime, and the Holy Spirit wanted to show me the truth. And I went out, we were walking through this path in the woods, just me and her, and the Holy Spirit said, go off the path to the right and go over to this place and break witchcraft and cast any unclean spirits to the abyss or whatever, just cast spirits out of the area. And so I was like, okay, I'm hearing this inside of me. I went over there. I'm like, I told her, the Lord is telling me to stop right here and to get rid of unclean spirits. And she said, her eyes got really big. And she said, this is exactly where some people, she didn't say her, but I'm not dumb. some people had hung a bunch of sacrificed rabbits and other small animals in trees by ropes in this exact area and did a witchcraft seance ritual there. She didn't say it was her, but I'm pretty sure it was her and her friends. And she said, this is the exact area. And so it's like, wow, I know I'm hearing the Lord correctly then if he asked me to go here and pray against this stuff right in front of her. And he keeps giving her visions and dreams of me helping people get saved and helping her get saved. And she's in darkness in a dream. And I'm leading a bunch of people to Christ in a dream and everything's on fire. And the only way she would be able to be saved is if she listened to what I had to say and followed the Lord. And it never happened, but he was warning her. He had such mercy. And she'd tell me about these visions and these dreams, and I'm probably butchering some of it, but he would warn her to leave what she was doing, her lie, her witchcraft. Eventually she cheated on me, okay? And it broke me because of whatever love spell I was under. I don't know why I was even ever with her other than it had to have been some sort of witchcraft and my ignorance and blindness and desire for a wife. But she ended up cheating on me. The best thing that could have ever happened to me, but it broke me for like 2 days. And then I started feeling like, oh, maybe I didn't really like her anymore. And like the spell is lifted or whatever it was. But I know for sure the Lord had put so much guilt into her heart for what she was doing, because it was the day before we were going to sign a marriage certificate to be married. The day before she cheated, she left and told me she's cheating on me. The day before, she had so much guilt. And the Lord had told her she couldn't do this. And she didn't. She didn't do it. She told the truth. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy. Thank God. Yeah. Because then we get into some good things now.
And I noticed that when we are filled up with the Holy Spirit and with fire like you were, that you truly see the spiritual battle for your soul. But ultimately, God had you and he had you on the right path. And he wasn't going to let you get off of it this time. So, yes, go into now what happened.
Okay. Yeah. So that is a good word for somebody. Actually, it really is. Because I know I'm not the only one that can see in the spirit realm. And I know I'm not the only one that's dealt with these things and witchcraft. It's everywhere. So please, I hope if you have something similar in your life that permeates with what I'm saying, and if it sits with you, please follow it. Learn from my mistakes and don't go make them on your own. Don't be hard headed. So follow the Lord. It will save you heartache and pain. I finally start coming back from like this hurt and this pain of leaving her and all this stuff. I just start to begin to seek the Lord harder because I backed away a little bit from all the stuff I was seeing, which I should have went in closer with her. But all the stuff that I was seeing and everything and all the witchcraft and spells and attacks and demons and all this stuff that I was under and trying to be a Christian around, it did have an effect on me, and I did start backing away from the Lord a little bit. I did, but I never ever would say I don't believe in him. I never ever would renounce him, anything like that. I never did, but I backed away a little bit, and I focused on this evil relationship. So after we finally break up, I don't remember how long we were even together, but I start getting back in with the Lord, and I start going to different churches and different groups and different meetings, and I'm preaching the gospel on the YouTube and Facebook, and go and try to get people saved, and I'm doing the things again, and I'm like, I can breathe, and I got a new job, I'm making great money, and everything was going really well. And then finally, this is where I really like, after that was finally the wake up call that I needed because of all the things I went through and all the things I experienced, not only before her, but with her. That I needed that because I was so stubborn, and hopefully somebody else isn't going to be that stubborn and can listen. But I needed that, I guess. I wish I didn't. I wish I didn't have to go through that. But now that I've done it, I can help people that have been through or is currently going through those things witchcraft and relationships like that, drugs and alcohol abuse, sexual abuse, all of that stuff. Because of all the things I have been through, because of all the things any of you have been through, you can use that as a testimony and a ways to preach the gospel to other people. And it's an amazing thing. I can't say I regret it. I can't say I regret any of it because it's become my testimony. Yes. So that mixed with the word of the Lord is how we get souls. And that's what we need to focus on. So I finally am, I'm getting closer to the end. I'm submitted finally at this point. Finally, I'm submitted to the Lord. And I start. And
go, okay, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, finally, you did it. Yeah. And so things start, I start receiving blessings. And the blessing that I received, man, that man was so on point with that prophecy. But I met my wife. I had been doing the ministry on Facebook a lot. And I would always send people random verses, people I don't even know. I just had thousands of friends. I think I was maxed out at that time. And I send random verses to, I tried to do 100 people a day. Most of them I didn't know. And I sent one to her, but I thought she was cute, my wife now. And so I sent an extra little message. I can't remember exactly what I said. Hey, how you doing or whatever. She lived about 2 hours away from me at that time. Yeah, about 2 hours. And so we started talking. That sparked a conversation. And because she said, this is how crazy the Lord is. So she said, I just got done praying for you. I'm like, what? She's like, I can't believe you sent me this message. I just got done praying for you. And we had never talked, never met, nothing before that. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So that sparked this interest in both of us. And we began talking. And we finally, I don't remember how long it was before she came down to Des Moines to meet me. But I asked her out. She said yes, although she is very shy and very like conservative girl, woman, that she was so nervous, she told me, and I could tell she was, but she was so nervous, she almost didn't come. But she loved the Lord. Thank God she loved the Lord and was real this time. And so she came down and we hit it off, and we went out to eat and movies and just the regular old thing that you do as Christian couples, you know, and, on a first date. And it was great. We got to know each other. And we had so many confirmations. Let me tell you what, Julie, we had so many confirmations about marriage so fast. And it was prophesied over us at this house church and other churches we would go to. And it's like everywhere we went, people would call us out and prophesy over us. And they would like not prophesy over anybody else at churches, all this stuff. And they would call us out. Or even if I was just alone, it would happen to me all the time. It still kind of does to this day. It happens to us all the time. And it's amazing that that's how you know you're in the will of the Lord as well.
Absolutely. You will know that you know that you know. Yes. When it's the right person, when it's the right time, God will make it very clear. It's when we try to do it on our own that things they mess up, or if we force it to happen, it's not going to be good. So I love that. Yes, he gives us confirmation. So tell us, you have been married now how long?
Yeah, so we knew each other for 2 months. After all that confirmation, we're like, we know, we've had visions, we had dreams, we had prophecy, we had confirmations. It's like, let's just do this. Let's just get married. So we did. And we had this little wedding. We didn't invite any of our family. We had the people from our house church and the preacher that was our buddy at the time. And all, it's just the group of our church people came to our wedding. Both of our parents were upset with us, but we didn't even tell them. We just got married. And it ended up being the best thing that I've ever done. We've been married now going on 3 years, May 8th will be 3 years.
Wow.
And it's been amazing. And we've grown together, and it was definitely of the Lord. There's been challenges, but we have a baby together now. And she had kids, I had kids, and you know, the yours, mine, ours thing, but we did have a baby together, a little girl. She is, right after we got married, not too long. She's going to be 2 here in July. So I've got everything I ever wanted and ever asked for, but I took the hardest possible path that I could have taken to get this stuff because of being stubborn and bullheaded and ignorant. And yeah, that's a whole word for somebody.
Yes. And he's going to use it, and he will. And he is even now, because it matters that he uses all of it. What I love, Cody, as you keep saying, I'm hard-headed, but you know what you are now? You're headstrong in Jesus, and he can use that. He can use that. And would you say, one thing I'm noticing about your story is, well, obviously the people that we hang around, that one foot in, one foot out, it seemed like for years you were trying, God kept pulling you, he's patient, but you were still hanging around these people or influences and demonic things and witchcraft that you can never be where you are now because of it. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. It matters more than you could ever imagine at the time. In hindsight, it's always 20/20. You know, you see looking back like, wow, things would have been so different if I had just listened and done things the right way the first time, not hung out with that person, not dated that person, made this other choice. And it matters so much. And you can accelerate your walk with Christ, your wisdom that he gives you, the visions, the dreams. You can accelerate those things by obeying and following his commands and his word and doing things the right way. And you will get to the place you want to be much faster.
Yes, I love that. And where can people follow you now? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so on YouTube, you just type in my name. It should show at the bottom, I believe, CODIE. Cody Sedlock, SEDLOCK. And on Facebook, I've been doing most everything on Facebook after I got shadow banned YouTube a while back. It like everything started dropping from like tens of thousands of views, thousands, hundreds, and then in the tens. I'm like, what is going on? And the Lord was revealing to me he needed me in a certain place so I could be released back at a time when I had the right wisdom and the right tools. And I believe that time is as I've been getting to get re-released into doing this ministry this year 2024. So it's just starting to pick back up. You can follow me on the YouTube and Facebook. I'm starting to get back more into YouTube. It was just Facebook for a while, but I'm going to do both, and I'm going to go a lot more than I was. So you can follow me there. Feel free, anybody.
Cody, thank you so much for being with us today. You have truly shared some amazing gems in your story. And going back to loving people, I know he never gave up on you with his love and showing you hell and the spiritual realm and these supernatural encounters. Do you feel like you love people more now?
I do, absolutely. It would almost be impossible for me to not because of all those experiences and they brought upon wisdom. And I can see things spiritually now that people are dealing with, and it helps me to know that they are just seeking to say they're seeking truth, whether they even know it or not. And it makes it so much easier to love people knowing that it is a spiritual war and it helps so much. It did help that whole journey. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I would love for you to pray with us for us today.
Okay. But Heavenly Father, we just give you all glory and praise right now. You get all honor. We worship you. We just thank you for this platform. I thank you for Julie and Touching the Afterlife. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me a voice and allowed me to do this, and it's well with her. Lord, I just pray that those who have ears to hear will hear this, and it will resonate with them, Lord. And I hope they have hearts to receive. Lord, I just pray that this word goes out and it just starts to stir on the hearts of those who need to hear it. And you know who they are, Lord. And we just thank you, and we just welcome them to your kingdom with open arms. Yes. And we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.